Hello, everyone. You're listening to the Words of the Wise podcast, hosted by me, Lexi Maynard. Our mission is to capture the words and wisdom of the world's elderly so that their story and legacy may last forever. Like what we're about? Then be sure to subscribe to receive instant updates on new episodes. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Words of the Wise Podcast, or on Twitter at Words of W Podcast as well. Joining us today for episode number 25, we have Bob and Joan Kroskoff. These two have been together for almost 68 years and have had 10 children together. With lots of wisdom to share, here is Bob and Joan, episode 25.
Hi, my name is Bob Kroskoff. I'm 89 years old and working on my 90 year.
So where did you grow up?
I grew up in Peru, Indiana, and also in Fort Wayne.
Okay. And what did the typical day in your childhood look like?
Well, it was, of course, during the Depression, so, and I mean Depression, we didn't realize we were poor. So it was just what a regular kid would do, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't remember a lot about my real early years, but from the age 5 on, I lived with my grandmother. Mm-hmm. She had chores for me to do, and just you had to make your own fun and do your own things. So.
Mm-hmm. And why did you go to live with your grandmother?
Well, the pressure of the Depression, I think, caused a lot of family angst between my mom and dad, and they separated, and we were left with, we didn't live with either one of them. We okay. lived with my grandmother.
Okay.
We were named, I guess, wards of the state or something. I don't really understand all of what happened, but my sister was 3 and I was 5 going on 6. So.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
She remembers nothing of that. So.
Yeah, well. So how many siblings did you have?
Well, I only have one sister, but my dad remarried and I have 8 half-brothers and half-sisters.
Oh, my.
In fact, three of our children are older than their youngest 3.
Wow. Wow. So that kind of goes into my next question. What was your stepmother like?
She was very difficult for me to get along with. We had not a very good relationship. We did much better once I got out on my own and got away and learned to tolerate her.
Would you say that you have a favorite childhood memory or one that sticks out to you in particular?
Oh, boy, childhood memories. I suppose living in Peru, it had to be the circus. When the circuses would, they winter quartered there, and when they would come to load up to go out on their spring tour and take the tents everywhere and stuff, they would parade the elephants and all the animal carts and stuff through the center of town, and nobody was in school.
Really?
And then they set up the big tent, the big top tent, just for practice on a field over by the railroad station. They would set it up and have free shows and then take it down, load it on the train, just like they would do if they were going to their next stop.
Wow.
So we always had fun when the trains left in the spring and when they came back in the fall. Really unique.
Yeah, that sounds like it. That's awesome. So what would you say the typical Saturday night in high school looked like for you?
Well, I split high school between Peru and Fort Wayne. I spent my first 2 years in high school at Fort Wayne and I went to Peru. But at the time I was going to school in Fort Wayne, of course, the Second World War was on.
Yeah.
And Saturdays were usually devoted to paper drives and collect metal and all sorts of things for the war effort. There really wasn't much that we did for entertainment at school at all.
Mm-hmm.
It was a time when everybody pitched in and helped and did things.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a job growing up?
Yes, and that's another thing. With all of the men, or many of the healthy men, all gone to war. I worked every summer and even during school sometimes. When I was down in Peru, I worked worked in a dairy. I keep track of the weight. They made sweetened condensed skim milk for the military to use to make ice cream and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And the guys that had these 350 and 60 pound barrels were older guys that couldn't read or write. And they just needed somebody to write down the weights of the barrels and keep track of them. And that's what I did.
Oh. And when did you start that job?
12 years old, yeah.
Oh, okay. So you were young.
They didn't worry about whether you were old enough or not.
So then, as we've been talking about your childhood and kind of your younger years, what would you say was the greatest thing that your parents taught you?
Well, of course, I didn't live with my parents. I lived with my grandmother. Mm-hmm. So she was a relatively stern woman, but a very loving woman. She didn't really show a lot of affection, but she showed she cared in a lot of other ways. And honesty and trustworthiness were things that she really said to you. Mm-hmm. Your oath is a solemn thing. So do what you say you're going to do. Mm-hmm.
So then you joined the Navy on your 17th birthday. Were you drafted or did you choose to enlist?
Oh, no. I enlisted. And it was the best choice I made.
And why did you choose the Navy?
Well, I figured they didn't dig foxholes out in the ocean. But I'd always been interested in boats and stuff. I like to build boats. Mm-hmm. I thought that'd be a good thing to do. And it was. It was the wisest decision I ever did. Mm-hmm. We would be better served if the youth of the United States now served a couple of years of some kind of military discipline. You know, you spend 2 years doing something, you learn a skill of some sort while you're in there because they make you do something. Mm-hmm. You come out, then you're probably better prepared to go to school and really get something out of it, learn something.
Yeah. So what was your role in the Navy?
I was an aerial photographer.
And how did you get this role?
Well, prior to going in, I had tinkered around with photography and stuff with a cousin of mine. And I took the test that they give you to try to determine what you should be. And I scored high enough in all of them that they said, what do you want to do? But our squadron needed a photographer. So I became the photographer and went to the photo lab and took the best and stuff and qualified as an aerial photographer. Mm-hmm. Of course, I learned on the job. It was an extremely interesting job.
Yeah, so could you talk a little bit about that job? Like, what all did it entail?
Well, first I sort of have to preface it. My squadron supplied logistics support for the two Navy squadrons that flew in and out on the Berlin airlift. You know, we've ferried the materials over and brought personnel back and forth and things. And they wanted somebody to be able to document this photographically. And that's sort of how I started in it. And then the aerial part came in because I was attached to an air squadron. They said, well, you ought to be an aerial photographer. So that's what I became. And we mapped, used Second World War bombers and had the aerial cameras mounted in the belly of them and blew compass headings over huge areas and do it 3 or 4 days in a row so that the cloud cover never obscured anything, and then use the centered 3% of each of the individual photographs and made a big mosaic, and that's the way you created a map.
Wow.
That's just a simplified thing, way of doing it.
Very interesting. Wow. So what would you say is your coolest story from your time as an aerial photographer?
Horror story, you said?
Cool
or horror, whatever you want to share.
Or
well, probably the worst story was, or maybe we were flying to do some pictures of a plane that had crashed, and we were in a single-engine plane, and I was flying in a back cockpit, and we started having engine trouble, and the pilot was having trouble maintaining altitude, and he said, you know, I might have to land dead stick this plane in, so you better bail out. And I said, I don't want to jump out of this plane. He said, bail out. He rolled over, and I went out.
Oh, my gosh.
I landed alongside of an irrigation ditch that they just cut the willows and stuff down and scratched the devil out of myself.
Oh, I bet. Oh, my gosh.
And he got the engine running long enough that he was able to make a landing.
Wow.
I wound up, they have a thing in the Navy. If you have to use a chute that a parachute rigger packed for you and you make it down safely, you got to buy him a jug of booze. It even cost me a bottle of booze.
So where were you stationed?
My first base was at Patuxent River, Maryland. That was the Naval Air Test Center there. And that's where the squadron was when we supported the Berlin Airlift. And then the squadron moved to Moffett Field, California. And the Moffett Field was created for the rigid airships of Macon and the Akron. Those huge, great airships that they had. And the hangar was 212 feet high on the inside. And it had an atmosphere that would get in there. That base was located right down on the tip of this San Francisco Bay, the southern end of it. Humidity would get in there, and if they didn't keep the doors closed, it would rain inside.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
The building still exists. It's on the 101 highway down by San Jose. Mm-hmm. They're still all there.
Wow. What would you say that the Navy taught you?
Discipline, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and discipline about the way you do your job, the way you do take care of yourself, the way you keep yourself in condition, the way everything, the discipline just isn't obeying an order. It made me mad. That's what's missing in a lot of people anymore.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that the service changed you? And if so, how?
Oh, sure. Like I said, it made me mad. I went on a boy.
Mm-hmm. And when did you return from the Navy?
1952. I went in 1948 and got out in 1952. I had enlisted for 3 years, but because of my job and because of the Korean War, I got involuntarily extended for another year. 11 months and 29 days. They gave you an option of re-enlisting for 1 year and you got a bonus, or they would let you out whenever they didn't need you anymore, and you wouldn't spend more than a year. So I didn't. Mm-hmm. 11, 29 days.
And what was it like coming home?
Well, it wasn't bad. The war was still going on, of course.
Yeah.
But we came back, and jobs were a little difficult to find because there were still a lot of servicemen that had returned after the Second World War and looking for jobs. And I wanted to go to college, and I had to pick up another foreign language, so I had to go back and get that and go back to high school and get it. I took the second year of Latin in one semester.
Oh, wow. So you ended up going to college then once you returned?
Yeah. And I got married first.
Mm-hmm.
Married in November. I got out in October, and my wife and I got married in November.
Yeah.
Then after the first of the year, I went back and did the one semester and picked up the courses that I didn't have that I required to get in Purdue, and then went to Purdue Extension in Fort Wayne.
Mm-hmm. And what did you major in? Like, what did you want to do?
I didn't really major. I started, and my wife presented me with a baby girl,
Aww. So
I had to work.
And what was your first job then?
I worked at the U.S. rubber plant in Fort Wayne. They made fuel cells for self-sealing fuel cells for aircraft and stuff. So a bullet went through it, the fuel didn't leak out. As the fuel hit the rubber and the plastics and stuff, it sealed itself.
So then where did your career take you after that first job?
Well, it led me to the first, to my career job, which was with NCR. I played basketball for the company team at U.S. Rubber, and the union took everybody out on strike. I wasn't in the union. I worked in the lab, but I didn't have any work to do because they weren't working. So one of the guys on the team, when we had practice, was talking about it. He said, yeah, I went down and applied for a job at National Cash Register Company. And he said, they gave me a test and they talk about something that I couldn't figure any of it out. So the service manager there told him, hey, if you know anybody that might pass the test, send them down. Mm-hmm. And they told me to go down, and I went down and took the test and passed it.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't choose them. They sort of...
chose you.
Fell into it, yeah.
Yeah. So then, did you start that job in Dayton, Ohio, or where did...
Oh, I started in Fort Wayne, and I worked in the Fort Wayne operation for about 3.5 years, 4 years. Mm-hmm. And I went to service school to get my apprenticeship out on the road, and then went back again to get training on calculators and the rest of the stuff. And at that point, they asked me to stay and become an instructor in Dayton. So my instructor in service school in Dayton, and then that led me to a myriad of other jobs. I spent 16 years there doing all sorts of stuff. My career with NCR was not just one job. It was many jobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very, very smart man.
So then you ended up in Muncie, Indiana then, right, towards the end?
Yes, I had my choice. They gave me an international air travel card and said, you can have this and then you'll be my last job. I worked as assistant to the vice president, and I handled the problem areas. If there was a problem, they said, figure out what's wrong and figure out how to fix it. And then I'd go to another job and do the same thing again. So the international air travel card meant I was going to be going to all our factories all over the world and do the same stuff. And we had 10 children by then.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
What was your favorite part about your job at NCR?
Diversity. So many different things and so many people to meet. Because I handled the retail division, which is all the stores. And when I first started, you couldn't go into a store that didn't have a national register. Of course, electronics came on, and everybody else got in the game. Producing mechanical registers, nobody had the tools and stuff to do it. We had everything.
And what career advice would you give to someone who is about to enter the workforce or try to look for a job?
Find a job that interests you and keep it. You have more success and be willing to move, because that's what it requires.
Mm-hmm. And then you already talked about it a little bit earlier about how you're into boat building. So could you talk a little bit about that hobby of yours? I know you've made some sailboats and some motorboats, I hear.
Yeah, and it started when I was just a young fella living in Peru. We lived on Canal Street, which the Wabash Erie Canal was just across the street from where we were. And then the Wabash River was there. So in the summertime, we lived in the water. And my cousin and I found some old boards and nailed them together and made ourselves a boat. So we were playing all the time, and that started it. And when I moved to Fort Wayne, I made myself a kayak.
Oh.
Kayaked around the waters there. And then I eventually gave it to my uncle. And it was light enough that he could carry it. And he was an avid fisherman. And he could carry it around and get in places where he could fish that he couldn't get to with any other kind of boat.
Yeah. How many boats have you built, do you know? Do you have a number?
I don't have a number, but...
So a lot then, probably.
Well, in different boats. I built a sailboat while we were in Dayton, and my wife helped me. We built it in the garage and stuff, and it was a fine boat. I gave it away when I got another one. And then I built several prams and stuff for the grandkids and the great-grandkids to play around in. I had one of my grandsons was not very talkative and didn't say very much. And he happened to come over and looked at a boat that I have that I built that Chris Berry now has and takes his kids over on the pond and goes around in it. And his dad, my son Matt, took him back and he said, yeah, here's a boat your grandpa built. He came back, it was on a Christmas, we had a Christmas party, and he came back and I said, Tyler, would you like to build a boat? I said, well, you give me a week when you get out of school and come on over here, and you and I are going to build you a boat.
Aw, that's awesome.
He went in the Navy.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, a different guy now. Made him a man, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to go, and I'm going to ask Joan.
Hi, I'm Joan Kraskoff. I'm 89 years old. I can't believe it yet. And there we go.
Yeah, so where did you grow up?
In Detroit, Michigan. I lived there for 21 years till I got married.
Oh, wow. So what did the typical day in your childhood look like?
It was pretty much a lot of fun. I remember having fun growing up. Lived in a neighborhood with a lot of children, and you'd always go out bike riding or hiking or just playing. It was a good time to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
I had childhood.
Yeah. How many siblings did you have?
Two sisters.
Okay. And were you guys close?
Yes, we were. We were about 3 years each apart, but I think we even got closer as we got older. That usually happens. Because
mm-hmm.
I was like a teenager and they were still young, so I'd do different things. But I'd say we were fairly close.
Mm-hmm. And where did you fall in the order? Were you the oldest or the youngest or middle?
Yeah, I was the oldest.
Okay. Would you say that you have a favorite childhood memory?
I don't know. I think going camping, I liked that a lot as a child.
Mm-hmm.
I went with Girl Scouts and sometimes with my family, but mostly with the Scouts. I love to camp.
And when did you start camping? When you were pretty young or?
Mm-hmm, probably a preteen, mm-hmm. Yeah. And Nance reminded me, going to the movies, we went every Saturday to the movies.
Really?
It was almost an all-day thing because you had two features and then all the previews and then cartoons. So it was gave my mother a nice break all day Saturday.
Yeah. That kind of goes into my next question. What was the typical Saturday night in high school like for you? Was it the movies like you just said, or did you do anything else?
Saturday night in high school, yeah. Sometimes we go to the dance at the high school, my girlfriends and I,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just walking around. Nothing super that I recall right now.
Yeah. Did you have a job growing up?
I did babysitting, and I mean, I was a good babysitter because I was hired all the time. In fact, my dad worried about me babysitting so much that I didn't go on dates and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
how old were you?
A little later in my life.
Yeah.
Later teens.
How old were you when you started babysitting?
10 years old, actually.
Oh, wow.
Watched the kids right across the street. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember how much you got paid?
A quarter an hour.
Oh, wow. Big bucks.
It was, yeah.
So as we've been kind of talking about your childhood, what would you say was the greatest thing that your parents taught you?
Taught me. I think caring about other people. I think that's what they taught me. Be respectful of other people.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what they look like or acted like.
And do you have a particularly favorite memory of your parents?
I think when we went on vacation, I saw how happy they were together.
Mm-hmm.
They enjoyed that and they laughed a lot. And I think that's what I remember the most about them.
Mm-hmm. And then how about of your sisters? Do you have a favorite memory spent with them?
I think the whole growing up thing was good with my sisters. We had a lot of fun together. We had our arguments, of course, and who would get the first place in the bed because we had to share a bed for a while.
Oh, wow.
But we really had a good childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Mom and Dad always took good care of us, took us on vacations every year or a week, you know. So we were close in that way.
Mm-hmm. And then after high school, did you go straight to nursing school?
Yes, I did. Uh-huh. I was 18 when I started at the hospital, nursing, mm-hmm. Providence Hospital Nursing School.
Mm-hmm. And what made you want to be a nurse?
I had to think about that. There was a woman across the street who had a sister who was a cadet nurse during the Army or during the war, and I was attracted to that. I thought that was pretty cool. I liked her uniform and everything.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the main reason I went into nursing. That just something that interested me. High school, I didn't decide to do that until almost a senior.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What are your favorite memories from this time period of your life when you were in nursing school?
Oh, it was a time of growth and learning about people. And of course, we had a lot of things to learn as a student nurse. And I really enjoyed it very much. How vulnerable people are, and myself too. It was a good time.
And you've worked as an RN in a factory, in emergency rooms, and you were in a physician office in Michigan, Ohio, and Indiana. Right. You retired in 1988, right?
Yes.
What did being a nurse in so many various places and environments teach you?
What did it teach me?
Yeah.
Just how much alike people are everywhere. I think that's, and kindness goes a long way with most all people. I think that's what I found out.
Yeah. And do you have any particularly crazy stories from your time as a nurse? I'm sure you do.
I'm sure I do, but I can't remember them. Nothing that would enlighten you or make you laugh or anything. I just can't remember right now.
Yeah. And then we're going to get into this in just a little bit when we're talking with you and your husband together. But you ended up having many children. So how did working while raising 10 kids, how was that experience for you?
It was very busy. I remember being busy all the time. But I worked part-time, like 3 days a week. And I could usually go in around supper time in the evenings and work till 11 or 12 p.m.
Okay.
It worked well. We needed additional income, and it helped, and it helped me to get away from home for a while.
Yeah, I'm sure that's nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I love nursing, so it was a good thing.
Yeah. All right, so these are for you two together now. Great job, Joan. You both
Thank
are doing
you.
Great. So how did you two meet?
Well, Bob was home on leave from the Navy and in Fort Wayne. And we went there for vacation because my aunt and uncle had just moved there from Detroit. We went to spend a week with them, and they had children, and their children and my sisters and I went swimming at the pool in Fort Wayne. And Bob was home on leave, and he was there too. He used to be a lifeguard at that same pool.
Oh.
And so he was filling in as lifeguard duty, so and it went from there.
Yeah. Do you remember how you first started talking to each other when you were at the pool, or you just remember that you met there?
I told her, everybody get out of the pool. Yeah, I was home on leave, and I just happened to get a call at my dad's house, and they didn't realize I was in the Navy. Asked me if I could help him out, so I went over there to help him out.
Wow.
And I couldn't believe him when he said he was in the Navy. I couldn't believe him. He looked too young, and it just didn't make sense to me. But he asked me out on a date, and when he came to pick me up, he had his Navy uniform on.
Oh,
so
wow.
I see him and believe it. So that was fun.
Yeah. And what was your first date? Do you remember?
Yeah, we went downtown in Fort Wayne to the movies, didn't we, Bob?
Yeah.
I don't remember what we saw.
Yeah, you do.
I do? Oh, it was Van Johnson and... Yeah, in the good old summertime, that's right.
Aww.
Judy Garland, yeah.
Yeah. What made you two fall in love with each other, would you say?
I really liked him right away. I liked him a lot. And he was a good person, and we started communicating, writing letters.
Yeah, the absence makes the heart go fonder a bit.
Yeah. Because we were... right away. He had to go back to the service and I had to start nursing school. So we were separated, but we wrote tons of letters and just blossomed from there.
Yeah. And how often did you get to see each other then? Would you, like, how often were you able to come back home, Bob?
Well, probably three times in 3 years.
Yeah. It wasn't very often.
And the year when I got extended for that year, they wouldn't let me go but a certain distance from the base in case they needed me or something. I don't know, some stupid rule. And so Joan flew out to visit me. I arranged for her to have a place to stay with another photographer and his family, and we spent about 10 days.
10 days out. Yeah.
Wow.
Parents trusted me. That was good.
Yeah, that's nice.
And so was he.
Mm-hmm. So then you finally got married once you were out of the Navy, Bob. What is your anniversary?
The 15th of November is the anniversary date, and we're working on 68 now.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. We can't believe it either. I can't.
Wow, yeah. What was your wedding like?
was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was.
We had a home reception in my home.
It was a beautifully warm November day. Yeah. Just gorgeous. Then that night the fog rolled in when we were leaving on our honeymoon, and you couldn't hardly see two cars ahead of you.
Oh no.
So we wound up stopping at some hotel motel along the highway just to get off the road till the fog cleared. We never have found the place where we spent our honeymoon night.
Really?
We went north out of Detroit up towards the Blue Water Bridge and went over into Canada and then Toronto and Niagara Falls and all of that for our honeymoon trip. But we couldn't get, I don't suppose, 15, 20 miles out of the city of Detroit before we had to stop.
Oh, no. So you two have obviously been married for a very long time. What would you say is the key to that successful long marriage?
I would say probably compromise. Don't always be right.
Remember that it's marriage is not 50-50, it's a 100-100.
Yeah.
So then, I mentioned this earlier, as did you two, but you ended up having 10 children. How old were you when you both had your first?
22. Just turned 22.
Okay. And how old were you when you had your youngest child?
33.
Wow. So 10 kids in, what, is that 11 years?
Yes.
Oh my goodness, you were busy.
We were pretty good Catholics, too.
Living with someone, woman that's pregnant for 7.5 years.
Wow. Could you go through your children's names?
Okay. Oldest to youngest is Mary, Bob, Bill, Tom, Nancy, Joni, Tim, Chris, Matt, Kathy, and that's it. Okay.
Oh my goodness. So what was it like raising that many kids that were so close in age?
A little hectic, but they always had somebody to play with.
Yeah. Do you have any particularly funny parenting stories from when your kids were little?
Gosh, probably lots of them.
Yeah. One of them, we had friends that knew that Irma Bombeck, the writer,
yeah,
is south side of Dayton, and she put in one of her books a story that happened to us. The kids used to get up at night and go into their bathroom and sit on the register where the hot air would come out.
Mm-hmm.
And one night I heard them in their bathroom and I heard the toilet flush and there'd be giggling and stuff. And the toilet had flushed and then there'd be more giggling and things. So I went in there to see what it was, and here they were, three of them gathered around the toilet and taking the roll of toilet paper and put it over and put it down into the toilet and flush it, see how the toilet much toilet paper rolled off.
Oh my gosh.
That was fun.
That's funny. What lesson did you two stress the most to your kids when they were growing up?
Stop fighting. No, I think we tried to teach them to respect each other and look out for each other. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They've always done that all their lives.
And they still get together. I think they'd have to say their siblings are their very best friends.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a plus in our book.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would you say is the most rewarding part about being a parent?
It's all of the ties you get from my birthday. I don't even wear them anymore, but I have to tell you a story about the neckties.
Okay.
I had a bunch, and some of them were really pretty bad.
Wild.
My youngest son, Matt, worked for State Farm over in Bloomington, and they used to have bad tie day. So he said, "Dad, you got any ties that might qualify?" So I gave him a bunch. After he won it for, I don't know, quite a few weeks in a row, they disqualified him.
They weren't that bad.
The oldest five children were all born in Indiana, and the youngest five children were born in Ohio.
Okay.
So the oldest ones are all Buckeye fans, and the younger ones are IU fans.
That's funny. I bet there are a lot of fights about that in your house.
Oh, not really. They get along well.
Yeah.
We get together whenever we can. We messed up our Christmas party this year. We usually have it every year. week or two into December so that we can all get together. And that's when we get to see all of the grandkids and the great-grandkids.
Yeah. What would you like all of your children to know about them specifically? Like, what were you proud of? What disappointed you? Things like that.
We're proud of each and every one of them and what they've accomplished.
Yeah.
And I think any parent will tell you that all they want is for their children to have more than they had. More success, more wealth, whatever, you know. They just want them to succeed. And I would say that we're very happy with all of our children to succeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all people persons. They care about other people and themselves and each other. And that's what we wanted, closeness. And that's what they are.
Mm-hmm.
About each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And your third child unfortunately passed away a few years ago. Could you explain what that experience was like?
Overwhelming. Sad. That sense of loss never leaves you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was just to watch him in so much pain and stuff. It really hurt. It really hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Knew there was nothing you could do.
Mm-hmm.
Peace, and that gives us some peace.
Mm-hmm. And what would you tell someone who has also lost a child? What advice would you give to someone else who's going through that experience?
No advice at all. Just
don't get over it. Remember it.
Yeah, just love them always in your heart.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so sorry for that.
Thank you.
What parenting advice would you give to parents nowadays?
That's a good question. I would say be diligent about what your kids are into and who they know and who they're hanging with, because that can influence their whole lives.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important to be a part of all that.
Yeah.
You have any others, Bob?
Oh, you've got to, I think that the one thing that we miss out now is we're trying to replace parental love with toys.
Gadgets.
Yeah.
Something else. It seems like everyone that walks down the street have an appendage in their hand and it's a cell phone. They can't live without it. You have to teach the children to be reliable without all of that stuff. It's nice to use it, but I think back about the technological advances that have happened since I was young and now, and it blows my mind. It's, you know, we had an old Atwater Kent radio, and we could get about 7 stations on it, and that was it. And our radio fund, I'd come home from school and turn on Jack Armstrong. that was the extent of the radio. Or when the president spoke, my grandmother made us all sit, be quiet, sit there and listen to it. And the fireside chats and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're sending things all the way to men to the moon and going to do it again and build a base. And you got the cell phones and TV and news so instant that it's incredible to me to think that there's somebody over fighting somewhere in a war talking on a cell phone to his wife and she's complaining about the dishwasher doesn't work or something.
Yeah.
You get the information overload real quick.
Mm-hmm.
We have one grandson that's raising his 2 boys in a sort of a farm-like atmosphere where he doesn't let them have a lot of toys and stuff. They got to go out and make their own things and do their own things.
Yeah.
And I praise him for that, because I think his kids are going to be well-rounded when they grow up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Drugs for the young people are just incredible. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And you two can answer this question individually if you want. What would the Bob and Joan of today tell themselves as a young husband, father, / wife, mother? So if you could go back and each give yourself a piece of advice when you were a young wife and mother or young husband and father, what would it be?
Wow. Let's think about that for a little bit.
Yeah, it's a hard question.
Yeah, it is. I'd say be real aware of what's going on with your children. Be very aware and not afraid to intervene when you need it to.
Especially in the atmosphere of today, you got to be careful for them.
Yeah.
You know, and that that's your responsibility as a parent, to be careful for your children. And that goes, I don't matter how old they are, it's still, you have to be careful for them. Mm-hmm.
And how many grandchildren do you have?
I think we counted, what, 27?
27 or 8, yeah. 7 or 8, and then all kinds of great-grandchildren, too. Yeah.
Wow, that's so fun, though.
We're very blessed. We are very blessed, I'll tell you that.
We have 15 great-grandchildren, or 16?
Yes.
And then we got an oven case.
What's your favorite part about being grandparents?
Being a grandparent and great-grandchildren? We can send them home. No, seriously, it's just wonderful. When we have our Christmas party, those little fellas get out there and run around and play around and have a good time, and they get to know their cousins. And,
yes.
And that's great. It just gives them that much more people to know and like, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's helping them grow and change it, but we love it. We love it a lot. Mm-hmm. We're blessed, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. How many houses have you two lived in together?
What did we come up with? 4? Was it just 4?
No, I think we had 6. 5 or 6.
Yeah. Really? Yep. 6 tops.
Mm-hmm. And do you have a favorite one that sticks out to you?
I think the one we're in now. We've been here the longest.
Yeah.
And we're close to some of our kids and grandkids, and that's great.
Mm-hmm. And as you two have said throughout this podcast, you've lived in several different places together throughout your marriage. Fort Wayne, Dayton, now Muncie. Am I leaving anywhere else out?
No.
No, okay. That's it.
Where has been your favorite place you two have lived?
Probably Fort Wayne.
Yeah. We both liked Fort Wayne a lot.
Yeah. And what about it? Why do you say Fort Wayne?
It was, at the time we lived there, it was a smaller city and very friendly and welcoming, I felt. I really loved it. I came from the big city of Detroit. I never cared for Detroit even as a kid. So I was looking forward to Fort Wayne, a more welcoming, comfortable city.
Mm-hmm.
Changed a lot since those days, since we moved away, but that was my favorite.
Yeah. And did you two go on any, or did you take your kids on any family vacations?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we family vacations. We used to go up to Ludington and Arcadia.
Mm-hmm. Up in Michigan, we'd stay in cottages and things. Those were a lot of fun. I was more of a camper than Bob was, and I liked taking the kids camping for vacations.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of fun doing that.
Well, I was a Boy Scout from a way back, and my camping is not like the camping with kids.
Would you say that you have a favorite memory or story from your life together?
We discussed this a little bit, talked about a lot of different things, but I suppose the 21 days we spent in Europe in celebration of our 50th.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was a wonderful time. Beautiful vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks to the kids, we were able to go and see and do all sorts of things that we would have not been able to otherwise.
Yeah, it was a great gift they gave us for our 50th.
Oh, that's amazing that you were able to do that. Where was your favorite place in Europe?
I suppose for me, would have to be Austria and Switzerland.
Yeah, that was my favorite too.
Yeah, Rome was busy, lots of sights to see. Paris, sort of the same way. London, the same way. But we were in Switzerland in a beautiful hotel, just a nice place.
Yeah, it's beautiful to go overseas if you ever get the chance to do it.
Yeah.
Wonderful. We're visiting.
Mm-hmm. What have you both learned as you have grown and built this life that you have together?
Oh, my goodness. How blessed we are is what I've learned.
Not only longevity, but for our life together.
Yeah. We're grateful. Very grateful. Mm-hmm. I really hope given that opportunity.
Yeah.
Males on my dad's side of the family haven't lived very long. In fact, my mother died at 54 and my dad at 64.
Oh, my. Wow.
And we've outlived our parents, both of us.
Yeah.
Wow. Very blessed.
Yeah, we are very blessed.
I think another thing that happens, too, we have a lot of children, but they keep us young.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They don't let us out and rust.
Mm-hmm. Would you have done anything differently about your life together?
I would not have.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah. And what advice do you have for couples trying to create a life together in today's day and age?
Talk things out. Don't keep anything inside. Work things through that you have disagreements on. Work it through. Be patient and tolerant.
Mm-hmm. And what she said.
As you look back on your life, who are the people who have influenced you or impacted you the most, would you say?
Well, I'd have to say that my wife influenced me the most, anyway, because, like I said, I was raised by my grandmother and had a stepmother, and it was, I wanted someone that I could spend my life with. I found her.
Mm-hmm. I think my parents probably influenced me the most as for longevity and trying to understand another person. I think I would credit them with the most. Mm-hmm. And I have a pretty understanding husband, too.
Yeah. What would you say is your favorite memory or time period of both your lives?
Oh, my goodness. I think after all the children were gone and on their own, we got to
travel
and be together and do things without obligations all the time.
And we were able down the Gulf Shores and spend the winters down there and get away from the bad weather. That was after we both retired. Mm-hmm.
During the time of raising, that was busy, busy years, and wouldn't trade them for anything, but they were very busy.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So these retirement years are kind of nice.
Mm-hmm. And individually, do you regret anything?
Not a bit.
I don't look back. Mm-hmm. Too many people get mired down in what ifs, and they just go ahead and live out what you got left and do the best you can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like that. And what advice would you give to the younger generations?
Don't sweat the small stuff.
Courtesy goes a long way. I think we've forgotten. They talk about chivalry being dead, and I think they're right. We need to be a gentler bunch of people. We don't have to fight about everything. Differences are normal. That's why we're not all the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Get used to it. Live with it.
Mm-hmm. And what do you believe is the most important thing in life? Again, this can be answered individually.
Trust in God.
Faith, yes.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have faith, you don't have much to live for.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then what do you both hope to be remembered by?
Well, I always told the kids that in every family there has to be a dictator. No. I was a dictator, but I'd rather be known for building boats and having fun and enjoying everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd like to be known for caring about each and every one. Mm-hmm. You know, loving.
Yeah. All right. That was great, you two.
Yeah. Yeah, they put a lot of effort into raising us, and you know, it was tough at times, but, you know, we all got through it. We learned things. We learned to love each other, and that was the best thing Mom and Dad instilled in us, that you love your family and your siblings and stick up for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Bob Kroskoff, spending his life building boats, working hard, and enjoying every day, he wanted to find someone he could spend the rest of his life with. And oh, did he find that in the kind and caring Joan. Together, they have built a life centered around their faith and family, remembering to not stress the small things and caring for others no matter what. With 10 children and multiple grandchildren, as Bob and Joan would say, they truly are so blessed. And thank God for these blessings. As the good Catholics that they are, they know that without faith, they wouldn't have much to live for. But because of faith, they do.
Out of the house here before long, because
yeah.
Mom's going to get her first COVID shot. Tuesday and I get mine on Monday.
Oh my, good luck. That's exciting.
Yeah, we're going stir crazy here.
I bet, especially when you're used to being around all these people. I hope you all are well and healthy and good luck with the vaccines. That's so exciting.
Okay, a lot to think about, so thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. Have a good rest of your day.
All right. Thanks, Lexi.
Bye.
Bye-bye.